dear.
Thank you so
How are
much,
you?
Sir. We are fine on this other side of India.
Okay. And
how
what
is... Doing, how are you doing back home?
Well, it's very fine around here. At this time, what should I say? Should I say good morning or should I say good evening?
Now the time is still good evening because it's 2 minutes past 11.
Okay, I think we can now start. Eh? The first thing I will do is, can you see all of us sitting here?
You won't be able to see that.
No. Only see you now.
Okay. Then let me say we are a panel of nine people, and I'm the chairperson. And all of us are members of the Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence. So if we were to start, you applied for...
I am able to see some other members now. 1, 2, 3, 4, it's going through. I am able to see them.
Okay. Would you like them to introduce themselves?
I would like that.
Okay.
My main problem is that the names are not visible on the cards in front of them. It's coming closer. Can you go closer? Yes, thank you.
Okay. Let me introduce myself. My name is Jerome Marke. I'm the chairperson of the Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence. And I'm chairing the panel today that is interviewing you. So let's introduce ourselves to you. I hope they will shift the cameras so that you see us one at a time.
Thank you very much. I'm Diane Kohler-Barnard, and I'm a member of this committee.
You are Barnard, madam. Because I can't see the name. Is it Barnard?
It's Kohler Barnard.
Barnard.
Like Coca-Cola, Kohler Barnard. All right.
Thank you, ma'am.
Good evening. My name is Doris Lagude, a member of this committee.
Good evening. Lagude.
Yebo, Itfa.
Itfa. I'm sorry for that. Sorry, ma'am, I am fond of writing. Thank you.
Good evening.
Good evening, madam.
I am Masifako Dikgale.
Masifako Ms. Dikgale.
D-I-K-G-A-L-E. Dikgale.
Thank you.
The Sotho's name. Thank you.
Good evening, General Brigadier Fongoka. I am Beki Hadebe with H. Thank you.
Good evening, Brigadier. My name is Kenny Muimang, a member of the committee. Thank you.
Kenny Muimang.
Muimang. Yes.
Thank you, sir.
Good evening, Brigadier. My name is Dirk Stubbe.
Stubbe.
Stubbe, S-T-U-B-B-E.
Stubbe.
That's also correct. Good evening.
Good evening, Brigadier. My name is Bulelani Makwanisha.
Good evening, Mr. Bulelani Good evening, sir.
Thank you very much, Brigadier.
Hi, my name is Ndlozi. Thank you.
Good evening, Mr. Ndlozi.
I think we can now continue. We only have 45 minutes for the whole interview. 45 minutes. We will start. Maybe you can start by giving us a short. Can I say, just tell us about yourself and a bit of your background, after which maybe you give us what is your vision of your vision for the Office of the Inspector General and the challenges that you think are there and how you think you can correct those. Can you say that in 10 minutes?
Yes, sir.
Over to you then.
My name is Phumzile Zamile Collingworth Fongoka. I am a 58-year-old married man with five kids, four boys, and one girl. I was born 1963 in the old township East London, Duncan Village, and then I grew up in Mtanzane. I went to school in Mtanzane. Somewhere in my life, I left the country just before I finished matric. I left the country, I went to Lesotho. Escaping the situation at that time. In Lesotho, I studied, then I completed my O levels. But when I left the country, I was doing Form 2, but when I arrived in Lesotho, I had to start from Form 1 and I completed. That is the time that I carried on with my activism as I had left South Africa. Due to that or that engagement. In actual sense, I wanted to go to join Umkhonto we Sizwe at that time. But because I was a young boy of 16 years, I was stopped from going to join. That's why I stayed in the school until I completed my grade 12. And from there, I stayed in the Lesotho operationally as an underground, as I was at home as a courier. Then from there, I left the Lesotho and I went to Angola via Tanzania. This is 1986, where I actually received now a formal training as a cadre of Umkhonto we Sizwe, of which I carried on with my military training until in 1990s when situation at home was demanding that you return home for negotiation. I decided or I requested the organization out of the choices either to come home or carry on with studies. I decided to go to study in Nigeria. There I registered for the admin, which unfortunately I could not finish because of the political situation in that country at that time. I returned home, and when I returned home, it is now 1992 late, but in 1993 I got myself into university through also the Bursaries organization, which after I could not complete that because of family problems, I decided to go and integrate into the SANDF. Then I carried on with the SANDF until today that I am started as a captain, and then after that I carried on, grew up in all ranks with all the training and academic developments within the SANDF. And then
sorry, Brigadier, you mustn't forget we've got 10 minutes. For that introduction and the vision and everything else.
Until I became a brigadier general after serving throughout the SANDF as an HR officer. Then after that, I was deployed here where I am. This is 2018 where I'm appointed as a defense attorney. My vision or why did I apply? First thing I would say that as I grew as an HR officer, I realized that my time is gone, I'm going on pension. And I said, I don't think I have served my country to what I wanted to. When this post was advertised for the first time, I did not see it. During the second time of advertisement, it was reopened. I noted and I said, after reading and following up events that talk about that post, I decided that if it's about monitoring and reviewing, to me, the experience that SANDF and South African people have given to me as an HR officer, and I applied. I need to say thank you to you and those who worked with the shortlisting. I'm grateful of the opportunity that I've been shortlisted to be able to present my case in an attempt to say to my country, I am ready to serve, regardless of the fact that I have done my part as far as I'm concerned in the DOD, with the rank that I'm carrying, and as a military diplomat here in. That is the vision that I have now, is that having followed the organization oversight in terms of intelligence, I have noted that my HR experience would fit like a glove in the current situation of the office of the IGI. And my vision is that of saying, in the understanding that all systems are there, there is an app, there's everything, and we have gone through all ins and outs with people who are supposed to be professionals in the intelligence. And I believe it is time now to bring in an HR officer who thinks he has a role to play in terms of saying to him that the office of IGI is able to do or bring in innovative ideas in order to do what I expected to do. If you are so, I am so grateful that you would give me the post.
Okay, Brigadier, what is going to happen now? The members of the panel are going to each ask questions for clarification, and the questions that would test whether you might be the right candidate and so on. So I will open up to the panel to ask questions.
Good evening to you. It's Diane Kohler-Barnard here. Before we begin, could you explain for me on your declaration? I see you've marked here that you had a judgment against you in a civil claim. Could you explain what happened there, please?
I think that is the one where I was talking around the issues of not being a good payer with my creditors.
Yes, so what happened?
And most of those happened when I was a junior officer, and as I proceeded until today, I have been able to clear those credits, and I was able to clear my name such that when I was vetted for this post, and I was able to get my top.
Okay, so you do have top security clearance. Thank you. Right, let me put a few questions to you about the actual job as Inspector General. Spell out for us the various functions that the President may, according to the legislation, designate to the IGI, in which case, who exactly does that report go to? To the President or to us on the committee? And do you believe there are certain Inspector General functions you do not have to report on to us as a committee?
Ma'am, yes, in terms of the Act, if I do my normal duties of doing the monitoring of compliance with the Constitution and the rest of the policies and the Acts, and I do my revising or the renewal of the activities of intelligence and counterintelligence, as it is, I report to you with those at a particular time. And the Act requires that now when I am tasked by the President, the Minister, to exercise a judgment for myself, if I am appointed as an IGI, in terms of complaints that are brought to the attention in terms of complaints around the activities of indigenous communities, the three organizations that belongs to that at the moment, in terms of whether there are people who feel that there was a misuse of power or mismanagement, or also in terms of the situation where members within the intelligence community complain of certain things and or certain malfunctionings or certain ways that they were handled or issues were handled. If I am then tasked by the President, I report directly to the President on that. But it does not then say, because I report directly to the President on that tasking, there is no way, depending on what is it that I have done, not to give out that which was certain details that were not required to be divulged to the community. But the issue of tasking and as well as me doing functions, because that is the organization that I am your operational soldier on the ground as the committee.
Thank you very much. Apologies, did I interrupt you?
Thank you. Thank you very much. We'll get to the second panelist, Honorable Zagude.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Good evening, Brigadier Fongoka. I hope I pronounced your surname well. Okay, thank you very much for that. Brigadier, the high-level panel report agreed with the 2006 task team report on the reviewal of the intelligence-related legislations, policy, and regulations, and also the 2008 Matthew Commission on the OIGI must have an independent status with its own administration and budget. What is your view on that one? And if appointed as the IGI, how are you going to ensure that the OIGI get that status, that independent status? Thank you.
Firstly, ma'am, if the high panel has as part of its recommendation that it tells us that the requirement for consideration of those communities are the structure and all that of the HR office, any institution that has no control on its manner of staff, if you follow my CV, you'll see that I was a former director of Army HR for 3 to 4 years. I've grown as an HR office. If an institution is dependent on another institution, especially in this setup where this institution has to look into ability to function, service that other institution to an extent where if they go wrong, this is the institution that will come to you, go to the minister, call them and find out why they are not up to standard, the performance or the deliveries expected. It is that institution is dependent on the service for that. That institution is doomed not to function well. I've lost your picture, ma'am. Can you still hear me? Hello?
Through you, Chairperson, yes, I can hear you. Thanks.
Thank you. Now, that is the first thing that makes it possible to operate. Second, this is the budget, staffing. My studies have told me that the Office of IGI is unable to function because posts are vacant. Therefore, I believe that those recommendations go around the incapability of the Office of IGI to function, which I think your committee and myself, the also a way I had the requirements, which I agree with the requirement of changing the legislation and all that, but that status can come after we have tried to put down mechanisms of trying to find out what is it that, why are there this conflict of interest for organizations that according to me, intelligence must be done by people of high standard of professionalism. Therefore, there should be no feeling of not and there should be no feeling of try and look for the meaning of divine assistance that she will support in future, but it does not say to me that is the immediate situation. We can work with
can you okay, continue.
We can act within the current situation to be able to manage that. But yes, that is the nature of that recommendation. And those are the status that the independence should be on. It must be treated as other institutions that protect and support constitutionalism and democracy. But the status, ultimately, that is where the Office of IG should go. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you very much. We will move to the next panelist. It's Honorable Madi Khali.
Thank you very much. Can you hear me, Brigadier?
Thank you very much. At the moment, at the moment, the office of the IGI does not have a deputy. In your opinion, based on the study of the current legislative framework, what legislative amendments are required for this office to have a deputy? Thank you.
The structural, firstly, I've talked about the independence in the previous question. I related that it must be an independent entity, as recommended by the High Panel. Now, in terms of the fact that there is currently no deputy, structurally, an organization without a deputy would not function well, especially with the tasking of the office of the IGI or whoever incumbent in the post. An IGI's deputy, it allows sharing of responsibilities, and it also allows that if the act is changed, it must say that in the event that the IGI, the powers of the deputy, I mean I'm a military man, in all operations and all formations of the military, including Asia, you must have a fallback on absence of somebody who is acting. Therefore, a deputy is an administrator of the office, so that the IGI is a person who looks into operational, not day-to-day management of the office, but is able to inform and keep the deputy aware, so that in the absence, then the deputy will be able. My reading for the act says the IGI is allowed to appoint any person in his office to do responsibilities as listed 1-2, subsection 4 or A4. I'm not very good with the legal or the document explanation of the act. But it means if the IGI is appoint certain people to do certain functions, but if there is a deputy and the structure or the composition of the office of the IGI is supported with the act, allows it to be able to appoint through your committee a deputy. Therefore, it will be easy to function in that situation. One of the things, because if the history is correct, I am not very sure what I've just been reading it. Few information around the office. One of the complaints
are you still there, Brigadier? Okay. Yeah. We can hear you from this side.
Can you hear us, Brigadier? He's muted.
Even when he was still on, we were struggling to hear the responses.
Hello, can you hear us now? Brigadier, can you hear us now? We can't hear you.
Yes,
turn up the volume.
You can hear us.
But we can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, there you are. Yeah, we can hear you.
Then we can hear you now.
Okay.
If I was able to articulate the previous question, or you were able to hear me?
Can continue.
As I was saying, on that question of the second in command or the deputy, it is a correct operational arrangement of any institution, because continuity lies there and sharing of duties. And if that is permitted, it will assist in terms of operational capability of the office of the IGI, especially when the IGI is gone, and as well as distribution of work between the two. The deputy can concentrate on office running or office management, while the IGI concentrate on issues of the core business. And one thing that asking the hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, continue. Continue, we can hear you.
One other thing that the military experience has shown me is that if in any battle or any engagement or on in any institutional operation, at the minute where the leader, which is the IGI in this case, is absent, there is continuity. It is not disturbing the section. For other people who lead other directorates, departments in the same office, the deputy quickly takes over and continues. I think the other consideration of future operations or act or policies or regulations is that when that IGI and the deputy's terms are planned, they must be planned in such a way that they are that you do not disappear from the system. Thank you, madam.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. We will now move to Honorable Hadebe with an H.
Yes.
Thank you, Chair. Brigadier, having read the report on the high-level review panel on the state security agents, I'm sure you would agree with me that the relationship between the office of the IGI and that of services is an antagonistic one. And if it was a marriage, I would say they've reached a stage of irretrievable and irreconcilable breakdown of relationship. If you were to be appointed tomorrow, what measures are you going to put in place to ensure that we return to normal and the stakeholder relation is improved in order for you to be able to execute your powers and function as enshrined in the Act? I'm raising this because the whole number of reports, recommendations, in the form of a certificates that have not yet been implemented. Some are dating back to 10 years ago. Thank you.
Brigadier? Brigadier, you can answer. Can you hear us? Can you hear us, Brigadier?
Yeah.
Can we have, if it links up again, can we have maybe one more question and close? This doesn't seem to be working. Can you hear us now? No, we can't hear you. Can you hear us?
Okay, I was muted. Are you hearing me now?
No, we can continue. Yeah, we can hear you. We can hear you. Continue.
Honorable, thank you for that question. Chair, I would like, as a IGI, who would have to work with you, I want us to make an undertaking. One of the solutions to our problems is that if you appoint me, if you give me, we'll need to sit down first and workshop all what the shortlisted people have said, all the discussions that were held between the committee and all 10 of us. If we will sit down all together, including the services, and find a way to workshop this dysfunctional that as South Africans we have owned to today and yesterday. That is the first thing. The second thing is that the system of cooperation does not exist. Hello? Can you still read me?
Yeah, no.
Yes, you can proceed, Brigadier.
I hope you've understood what I'm saying. The information that was discussed by people who are not like me, who are from within the intelligence community in South Africa, with long years of service. And on matters that the committee knows, if we go and or workshop all that, we will be able to pin down the problems that exist in terms of that, what you call unrepairable form of relationship. That's the first thing. Do we, Chair, I'm not expecting you to say yes to me, but I'm requesting if you give me the opportunity. Because there is a lot of information that has been given by people who are part of the system, who know the system of why it did not work. And if we workshop that with the services, I can think.
We have lost you, Brigadier. Brigadier, we have lost you. Chair, I propose that we adjourn because really I don't want us to embark on the exercise for the sake of compliance or ticking boxes. It's unfair to the candidate. I'm not sure how do we move forward, but we have been patient enough. We keep on losing him. I don't think we're doing justice at this point in time. That would be my proposal, Chair. I don't know how do we move from here, but the process now, as things stand, it's no longer fair to us and to the candidate.
Chairperson, can I help?
I think we are live. You see, that's another thing.
May I just help, not help or propose that the Brigadier switches off the video that may overwhelm the streaming in terms of data consumption. So if he switches off the video, because we've already seen him, and he speaks, that might ease the network.
Brigadier, can you hear me? If you can hear me, may you please switch off your video? Maybe that might help. Switch off the camera, maybe it might help.
He did
Because we can't hear you. If you can hear me, can you try and switch off your camera and let's see whether it won't be better?
He can't hear you.
He can't even hear me.
Even us, we have reached that irreparable breakdown of communication and relationship with the candidate.
Hello, can you hear me now?
Let us be patient.
No, it's fine. Let's have coffee. We'll be patient.
Yes, I agree.
She's busy trying to
call you. Be live, and the equipment was rented for only. That's why I'm suggesting that when we get him back, let's have one or two people asking questions, and then we can take it from there. At least we would have tried our best. Otherwise, if we don't do that, there's no way in which we will do it again. We can't borrow these things for one person.
I'm trying to call him, but we're not getting through to him. He's not.
Yeah, you were still
all yours. Yes, sir, I'm all yours. Please proceed. I'm listening attentively.
Sir, as a grown up member of this office, to me, it is serious when I'm saying what you have heard, what you know, and what you listen. With the compass, unpack the blockage in terms of what is a problem in terms of cooperation between the services and the office of the IGI. For me, it is serious when I'm saying if we go and we accept all what was said and discussed, I think if given the opportunity as this human resource that your defense force has produced, I am confident, if given a chance, we'll be able to move forward and create support. Even these arrangements, you need for cooperation, you need certain regulations within the existing act, within the existing conditions, before we venture into the necessity of reviewing the acts. We need to deal with what we know. And what you know is what was shared with you in this. And I am going to explain something when I talked about NICOP. It is by nature a coordination mechanism. Therefore, I also propose, if given a chance, we need to look into the distinctive functions of the same side of the same coin, which is coordination and cooperation. Cooperation can only be enforced. We do not need an act for cooperation. We need a sort of regulations and consultations and agreements and creating, and then the committee goes and approach the parliament or the to find a way in which in time legislations will be there so that if after all this which we know is being looked at, then we then go to actions of being punitive to those who do not abide by certain regulations by the act, and before we can go and consider the changing of the act or opening up. Because remember, the act was also created as we were coming out of the apartheid system, bringing the former enemies together. Therefore, the act, it is automatic that it has lived its time. We need to do that, but that is not an immediate action. I say, what has been divulged and discussed with you by people who, not me, people who have worked, I think there is an element of mechanisms to unwind and bring in sense in this, which you call a relationship that is not repairable, because people doing intelligence must be guided by the Constitution, must be guided by the understanding that our people have requirements, must be guided by the rule of law. Therefore, a sort of regulations that talk to the rule of law, to the Constitution, to the Act, can make the services to see the IG in action as a person or as an institution that is not there to shoot them down or to monitor them in a negative way. But once we create a common goal, like you talked about the review, it talks about going to a situation where we have national security. Once we get to that, we have policies that talk to national interest. Then we begin to talk about ways that can bind us all so that we believe in serving the same God, if I might use that, or reading from the same Bible. That is what my HR experience tells me. And I have done that in the defense. It's on record. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Can we now get to the next panelist, who is Honorable Muimang?
Muimang. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. Good evening, Mr. Fongoka.
Good evening, Honorable.
The question that I want to pose to you relates to your understanding of the provision of Section 7.6 that speaks to the accountability of the IG. So does the IG report only on the administrative functioning of the office, or does it report to the committee in terms of its legislative functions as described in Section 7 of the Act, which deals with the functions of the IGI? Thank you.
Sir, thank you. As I indicated, Honorable, that if I am appointed, the only lawyer I can run to, it is the committee. The IG on functions that he does report directly. I have a problem with a once-off reporting. I, as an HR officer, I believe on continuity of forms of reporting. Therefore, what am I saying? In the event that I'm appointed, if IG is performing the functions, he reports directly to the committee, and he reports to the minister when tasked by the minister, and to the president when tasked. And in terms of certificates, the process is as per the certificates and the reporting channels. But if appointed, my only higher command, it is that is the group of people who have made a request of a workshop to on the information that you have received throughout this 2 days. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Brigadier. Thank you, Chairperson.
The next panelist is Honorable Stebe.
Brigadier?
Yes, sir, I'm still here.
Sorry, I need to put on the other mic also. In terms of Section 7.9 of the Oversight Act,
It determines that no access to intelligence information or premises contemplated in
section... I have not copied. I am sorry. Can you repeat the question?
Section 7.9 of the Oversight Act determines that no access to intelligence, information, or premises contemplated in subsection 8 may be withheld from the IGI on any grounds. Now, the question is, does this mean that no access to information, intelligence, or premises may be withheld by any services as a general rule? What is your comment on that?
Yes, sir. Hello, I've lost you.
Yes, can you hear?
Must I answer?
Yes, please.
Sir, the IG, there is a right to information and premises, including the premises of those institutions that do not fall within his organizations that he reviews and monitors. But as long as the information, it is pertaining to that which has to do with the services. The other thing is that in the event that that information has to do with a situation where it threatens the interest of the country, or it has to do with issues of, as indicated in the Criminal Act, therefore, the IG will have to revoke that ability to get that information. But in general, IG is allowed and is permitted by the Act to have access to all information.
Thank you, Brigidia.
We will now get to Honorable Dr. Ndlozi.
Yes, Brigadier, I have two clarity-seeking questions which I'm going to ask at the same time because they really have to do with your timeline on your CV. But
yes, sir.
Maybe just thank you for your service to the country, being far away from a family and so on and so forth.
Appreciated, sir.
You say on your CV that you were baptized with combat fire and battle experience during the Northern Fund skirmishes against UNITA in 1977. I think you wanted to say 87, because in 1977...
87, thank you, sir.
And then you say that you attended military specialization training in Yugoslavia and Eastern Germany in 1988 and 1989, respectively, at the same time.
Yes, sir.
At the same time, you served as an administrator of the plot in Luanda.
Yes, sir.
End of 89 to 90. Agreed?
Yes, but sir.
Earlier on, you say that in the same year, 88 to 89, you participated in organizing the Solidarity Student Actions in and around Mdanzani and East London. It doesn't make sense. Those are the same time periods. You can't be both.
Can you explain that of the student? That is in the 70s.
Oh, but here it says in and around Mdanzani and East London during 88 and 89.
So what has happened to my writing? Political involvement was before 1980. It was before 1980, sir. Honorable member, thank you for that. It is just... I did not realize I've messed up the logic in those dates.
No, I thought it's a military skill to be at the same place, in different places at the same time. thought it was your training.
I will not comment on that, sir. Okay. I am now in South Africa while I'm sitting in India. Okay. I think you have understood.
No, thanks very much, General. I like your demeanor. Despite the difficulties in technology, I think you have delivered yourself very well. And I personally wish you the best over deliberations. Thank you.
Brigadier, you can still hear me?
I can still hear you, Chairperson.
Okay. Let me just go around and find out if there are no follow-up questions. Yeah, seemingly there are no follow-up questions from the panelists. Let me give you a chance before we close. Is there anything that you would like to tell the panel about the interview itself, let alone the technology, but anything that you would like to say or comment? Over to you.
Sir, Chairperson, through you to all the members, as I indicated that while I come from the court, while I am a human resource officer, I am one of you, and I believe I am a product of the struggles that you've gone through. And the way I have handled myself, it is exactly the way that you have produced soldiers like me. But being a human resource officer, I think I have been baptized in understanding institutional management. It is on record in the South African Army, SANDF. One thing I need to raise, where I am sitting as a defense attaché, there is a weakness within our systems where an office of a defense attaché is not utilized to the fullest, because in what you are talking about, intelligence or ability to project one's national interest or to project or to find ways in to protect that which makes the country to function. A structure like defense attaches should be used very well. And this is on record in the SANDF. I have indicated this. It is something that we need to look, because we are not operationalizing it very well. But I must thank you, all of you, for giving me the opportunity. And I must also thank you.